If you've been with us the last several weeks, and this is the third actually, so this is the several week, we're in a series on spiritual rebar. And this is part three of spiritual rebar. It's called Set Your Watch. Now, I know it's Mother's Day. I understand. And for those of you who are going to go and celebrate, I hope you have a wonderful time. And I want you to understand, above all, as we embark upon these messages, and they are online if you haven't listened to the first two, and there's this one today. Above all, I want you to understand, God says, fear not. This is not about fear. All right, I'm not a fear monger. I do try to do my best as what I like to call a preparationist to help us be ready. No matter what happens, I want our hearts and our lives to be ready. As we embark on this message, I'm going to do a couple of things I didn't plan on, but Sherry showed me yesterday on the Facebook or on the desktop. Perhaps you have seen it. Mount St. Helens has been dormant since 2008, and all of a sudden, it seems to be rumbling. More than 130 small earthquakes have been detected under the volcano in just the past 8 weeks. The largest was a 1.3, so they're at least a mile below the surface, meaning people probably didn't even feel them. But the swarm of activity indicates Mount St. Helens is recharging. Magma is filling or refilling the volcano's chamber. Get a newsletter from a gentleman who was talking a lot, interesting, about, may I encourage you to know that, I'm interrupting myself here, I don't subscribe to a denominational headquarters newsletter that tells us what to preach. We do our best to try to follow as the Spirit leads. And it's been remarkable many times to see confirmation of the Lord putting several consistent themes on people's hearts. It's just fascinating to watch it as the Lord moves with a burden. But I want to assure you, nobody's telling me what to preach, except I'm trying to listen on your behalf to the Spirit of God. And so this guy is talking about exactly the things we've been talking about. And he was referring to the last day signs in Matthew 24 that would be the generation that would see Jesus Christ return as he promised. Recall, we're in Luke 21. If you want to open your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 21, it's consistent in theme with Matthew chapter 24. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, just slip up your hand if you would, please, and there'll be ushers who will come and bring you one. I'll have the scriptures up on the board as well, but I'd love for you to see it in your own Bible. So let's see, Bill, if you could get a set of scriptures over here. We have several in the back. Thank you very much. Since Israel, he refers to being born again, if you will, on May 14, 1948. Jesus referred to the birth pangs that would be getting stronger, coming more quickly, and the things we would see. There'll be earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars, and commotions, and all of these things. And in the past few years, increasing numbers of volcanoes have gone off. In 2015, there was a record number of volcanoes that blew their tops, and the earthquakes that come along with them. And he was talking practically. Let me just throw this out. Okay, I'm not a fearmonger. I really want to assure you. That's not what this is about. But I believe the Lord is speaking something to us about being prepared. And he went on in a few practical things. He said that when the great quake hits in California or somewhere else in the U.S., there's a good chance that the lines of the internet will be down. People won't be able to have the ability to use their credit cards. So this is consistent with what we've said for a long time. You should prepare yourself to have a few days of supply on hand. We have a whole bunch of dedicated people that aren't in our church, but all around our community that are dedicated and practicing for any disaster that would take place. And hats off to them. And there are places where you can go, places that are doing training things. And we would be wise to take heed for having some supply on hand. This guy's talking about a 20-pound bag of rice, having water on hand, some cash put away in case the bank doesn't open, maybe giving a number, your phone numbers, or a phone number for your family friend who's out of state that your family can have to call. So everybody has a central person to call that your family knows, so they all know that you're safe. And he's saying out of state in case that quake or whatever hits in your state. And then he went on to talk about, just listen very carefully. I'm going to summarize quickly these earthquakes, a 6.0 in Ecuador, a 6.1 in Western Indonesia. This is just in the last 10 days. 6.2 in Japan, 6.0, another one in Japan, 6.4 earthquake in Vanuatu, 6.1 in Guatemala, 7.0 Japan, 7.8 Ecuador, 6.2 Ecuador, 6.0 Ecuador. These are the aftershocks. 6.0 in Ecuador, 6.0 in Ecuador, 7.0 in Vanuatu, another one. 6.6 in the French Pacific, 6.0 again off Vanuatu. The issue isn't fear. The issue is simply fulfillment of the scripture. Remember the birth pangs, ladies, we've talked about it. It's not like a whole different experience comes to you. It's they get stronger and stronger, more intense and more intense, and then more rapid in their frequency. You know, where you might start 5 minutes in between, and then you get to 3 minutes, then you get to yelling at your husband. I mean, you know, it's just, it's, you measure seconds instead of minutes, you know, and then the baby is birthed. And Jesus was referring to this as he was talking about the last days. Recall, we spoke about the twofold approach of what he declared and taught his disciples. One was, of course, the end or that devastation which was coming to Jerusalem, which was fulfilled in 70 AD. The other one was the end of days. We look back over 2,000 years and understand the separation between the two, but at the time, his disciples didn't have any way of ferreting it out. But at the same time, so you're not fully discouraged, let me talk to you for a minute. We have spoken as pastors at our lunch the other day about all of us taking a certain time in our Sunday morning services and letting everybody know we're standing together as congregations. So you know, there's many other congregations that did what we did this morning, crying out for God to bring revival, pouring out His Spirit and praying. We're praying. Well, here's one where God did lights up the sky after 30 days of intercession. Let me just give you a little bit. In a growing multi-church trend, local congregations are coming together, and I didn't read this before we talked about this the other day. It's just a burden on our hearts. God is doing something. They're coming together in the body of Christ to pray around the clock for our communities. In 35 churches in Lane County, Oregon, recently banded together in what they called One Church, One Day Strategic Prayer Initiative, put together by One Hope Ministries. Hundreds of believers joined together in prayer gatherings and scripture readings and dedication of themselves to the Lord. They cried out to God, asking for His grace and empowerment to pray together as a community of churches every day, every month. Quote, we're only beginning to pray together as a community of Christian, Christ-following churches. We believe the Lord is only beginning to answer. This group believes they've received God's approval in a mighty way. Listen to this. After the commissioning service of One Church, One Day, after the first service, the sky had been completely cloud-free and blue. After the service, the sky literally filled with lightning and thunder that lasted 4 hours into the night. There were 225 lightning strikes in Lane County that night, which is an immensely rare occurrence. Now, here's the tie-in. Originally, the all-church prayer effort was going to be named Operation Rolling Thunder. Here's another one. The revival sweeping the southern West Virginia coal fields makes the front page of the newspaper. The front page of the newspaper on April 22nd talks about a spontaneous meeting attracting 2,500 people into a football stadium. They've had daily meetings of over 1,000 people. Here's the quote. People are getting healed and getting set free from drug addiction, anxiety, depression, in a place where they've experienced the most helplessness. With job loss from coal layoffs and addiction, they're feeling very forgotten and abandoned. But this revival is stirring, releasing hope in a bigger way than we can even understand right now. Church, set your watches. Set your watches. Is your spiritual rebar intact? Because what may happen might involve you and I reaching out to our neighbors who are in need. We might find ourselves even in need. But how many can say with me, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Luke 21, 29 through 31. Then he spoke to them a parable. Luke 21, verses 29 through 31. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they're already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know, say it with me please, that the kingdom of God is near. When you see the fig tree budding. They were fishermen. They were used to, many of them, providing food for their families, all of them as disciples. And Jesus tunes into something they can understand as a picture to teach them something about which they don't understand. Understand? So he shows them by a natural picture something they get to teach them a spiritual principle. When you see things getting ready, you know that summer's coming. You know that fruit-bearing season is coming. So when you see the signs that Jesus teaches them about, you know it's time for some things to begin to happen. But have you, come on, have you ever had a time like with me, somebody teaches you, this is really simple, Kev, and they give you the explanation and you go, you get it? I don't got it. Would you give it to me again? And they give it to you again. And they go, get it? You go, I don't got it. Can you understand that the disciples might have felt that way? He goes, it's going to happen like this, 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 this. And you can hear the corporate, huh? What does it mean, Lord? But Jesus tells us in the Word, James 1 verse 5, that any of you lacks wisdom, and sometimes we feel like, I don't get it. Let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. He wants us to understand, but sometimes we don't. See the signs. See the signs. Now, signs, they're supposed to be helpful. So Jesus is in the midst of his disciples, and they say, Lord, when's all this going to take place? But the answers aren't always clear, like some street signs you see. Stop! No stopping at any time. Stop! Or satup. Wait a minute. What am I supposed to do here? Don't you know you're supposed to satup? I love this. Attention dog guardians, pick up after your dogs. Thank you. Attention dogs. Grr, bark, woof. Good dog. Real signs. Keep right. Oh, my. How about this one? This one's a bitter, discouraged person. Lover's Lane. It's a dead end. It's a dead end. But now Jesus is going to issue his real head scratcher. Luke 21, 32 and 33. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Okay, I get that. What generation? Us? Now, interestingly, in the Bible, a generation typically is 40 years. And when Jesus was sharing and teaching this, it was about 30 A.D. Tell me, when was Jerusalem destroyed? 70 A.D., 40 years later. Some wonder, is this Israel itself? Is 70 A.D. the end of the time of the Gentiles? No. But 2,000 years later, we have a hint. 1948, Israel's restored as a nation in a day. 1967, you have the restoration of old Jerusalem. And you hear, you can even listen to the tape recordings that send chills through you now as they give the word, we're at the wall, we're at the wall, we're on the Temple Mount, and we're at the wall. And you hear the shofar blast, and it is one of the most moving things. Google it if you've never heard it. Shemitah years. Blood moons. Lord, help us understand. And he says that you'll be hearing of wars, rumors of wars. Please say the next phrase with me. See that you are not frightened. Please say that with me again. See that you are not frightened. Turn to each other, touch each other on the arm, and say, see that you are not frightened. For those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. And we know that birth pangs, as we've talked, take place in greater frequency and intensity until the birth of the baby. My heart literally, as I'm sure yours does, breaks for the people of Fort McMurray. Yeah. I was in tears yesterday. And you go and read the story of what happened. It was a week ago today they began to see signs of the fire. I believe it was a week ago today. It was first spotted last Sunday. By Monday, 80 firefighters were working the blaze. By 5 o'clock that afternoon, the fire had doubled. 3 short hours later, the fire had doubled again. More than 1,600 structures are lost and burned to the ground. This was in a city that's in the heart of Canada's oil sands, an economic engine that helps to drive this nation. Damage is now estimated to be in the billions of dollars. The fire on Friday was larger, burning a land mass larger than the city of Calgary itself. I believe the Lord's heart hurts for hurting people. The Lord takes no delight in suffering that takes place. And we need to be in prayer, church. God loves people more than anything. He'd rather die than let them go. And this is a heartbreak. And we've seen earthquakes and eruptions, chaos and confusion. I think there's a few instructions. Don't put your head in the sand. Watch what's happening. Jesus said, watch. And don't fear. He says, fear not. Watching a Bible instructor this morning, we had Joseph Prince on for a few minutes, and he quoted what we've heard before. Do you know that fear not is in the Bible 365 times, once for every day of the year? Fear not, the message of God would say. Keep your eyes open, your ears listening, and take heed to yourselves. Come on, read it with me. Take heed to yourself. Kevin, what are you saying? Get in water and supplies, natural. What are you saying? Yeah, I suppose that's wise. Have a few days in supply in hand. But lift your vision higher. Lift the vision higher. Luke 21, verse 34 says, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. Come on, say it with me. Don't be. Come on, say it with me. Don't be a drunken bum. Turn to each other and say, stop. No. Okay. But don't be weighed down with carousing, with drunkenness, and cares of this life, that day come upon you unexpectedly. I don't know how to describe to you the conflict. I don't want to make too big a deal out of this, but I don't know how to describe to you the conflict that I feel as a pastor. Knowing that I'd far rather cut jokes all day long and tell you light little stuff and send you home with a few positive, hey, happy day in the Lord. Where'd you go to church? I went to Happy Land. But when the Lord constrains, I have to obey. And guys, I'm not declaring the end of the world tomorrow. If you leave here tomorrow or today, if you leave here tomorrow, we preach a long time. Just lay out on the chairs. They're comfortable. But if you leave here and say, Kevin's a fearmonger, you've missed completely what I feel the Lord would have us understand. Watch and pray. Take heed to yourselves. If you take heed, you won't be surprised, because Jesus is warning us. I'm going to repeat what I said a week ago. Casual is the enemy of true faith. Say it again, out loud, everybody. Casual is the enemy of true faith. One of the oft-quoted things that I share from Pastor Carl is, I think, one of the most profound things that he did a poster on, and it goes like this. Casual Christians may become Christian casualties. That's where the rubber hits the road. Listen, guys, please pay attention. If the devil can get us distracted away from a fiery, hot heart burning for Jesus, if the devil can get us distracted away with life and living, and it's just all about today and the next good time, then we are absolutely no threat to the devil and his works whatsoever. Why should he come harass any of us if all we're going to do is be casual and we don't care about Jesus, we don't care about the kingdom, we don't care about the Bible, we don't care about the church. Devil's done his job. Walk away. But instead, come on, someone say with me, but instead, let your heart burn for Jesus. Let your heart be on fire for the Lord. Let your heart be on fire for the Word of God. Let your heart be on fire for the kingdom of God. He wants to build His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Someone say with me, oh God, I want a burning heart for You. Say it. Oh God, I want a burning heart for You. I don't want to be casual. I don't want to be casual. Kevin, you're just a little too intense. Okay, guilty. But I believe the Lord would rather have us on that side than on the sleepy side. Take heed. Take heed. That's what the Bible says. What does it mean in the Greek? It means to hold the mind. Pay attention to something. Be cautious about it. Apply oneself to. Adhere to. And what is He saying this? Take heed to you. He's saying to His disciples, take heed to yourself. Pay attention to what's going on around you and watch out for what's going on inside you in your heart. Watch out for what you allow in your heart. To be weighed down means to be burdened with. Don't be weighed down with these things. Don't be burdened with carousing. And literally in the Greek, it means a headache, a seizure of pain from drunkenness. It sounds like a hangover. But you know, you don't have to be a drunkard with alcohol to be drunk with lust and things of this life, giving you a hangover that really kicks you in the behind when you've walked after them and not after the Lord. Drunkenness means intoxication, literally. Cares of this life in the Greek literally means distractions relating to this present existence. Okay, Kev, I'm not going for wild parties and drunken benders. I don't smoke, I don't chew, I don't run with those who do, I don't do meth, I don't smoke dope, I'm an Okie from Muskogee. Okay, that's good. But what about number three? Cares of this life. Distractions relating to the present. Listen, guys, I go through it just like you do. I can't tell you how often during the day I think about my kids. And I think about my grandkids. And I think about people I love and people I care about and people that aren't on fire for the Lord and people that are distracted and I don't want to be there and I pray and some things you have to leave in the hands of the Lord. And those are all good things, but life sometimes. Being honest with you, I have another occupation that I don't talk about in this pulpit, and it's not illegal. I'm in real estate. There's nothing more distracting than real estate can be. Because you can't please anybody. Oh, poor me. It can be a major distraction, just like any occupation can be. Be cautious. Don't give your heart 100% to those things. Run after me, the Lord says. Paul gives us the antidote to that poison that will afflict and poison your soul. And it goes like this, Colossians 3, 1 through 4. If you, then you were raised with Christ. Say it with me, please. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on what? Things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. For when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Let's see it out of the Message. Fantastic. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up. Be alert to what's going on around Christ. That's where the action, I love that. That's where the action is. See things from His perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too. The real you. The glorious you. Turn to each other and say, "You look glorious." The glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ. Why is this important? Why? What's the scripture said? Luke 21:35. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. We don't want to be snared, right? What does snare mean? The Greek word is pagis. Can you say it with me? Pagis. It means a trap as fastened by a noose or a notch. I don't want to hang myself on the lust of the flesh or the lust of the world. A noose from the devil to hang you up from walking with Jesus. Cast him off. Cast off the noose. Come on. Grab it with me. Take this noose. Come on. Raise your hand. Grab the noose. Come on. Throw it away. Don't hit each other. Cast him off. Eyes on Jesus, troops. We're marching in the army of the Lord. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Say it with me. Watch and pray. Luke 21, verse 36. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Jesus has said all these things we've discussed in the past 3 weeks to tell us this. The antidote to all of this, watch and pray. Is your watch set? Have you synchronized watches to His clock? You'd have heard of it. Coordinated Universal Time, UTC, the basis for modern civil time. It used to be Greenwich Mean Time. Remember that? The GMT is the older standard. Greenwich Mean Time. Used to be able to get the clock, and all clocks had to be set right. And there you go. Used to be able to call that. Remember that? I remember that. Hey, what time is it? I don't know. Call it up. There's old fast, man. Kids would have no way of relating. You want to really confuse your kids? Say, hey, let me tell you about the old days. Jesus is saying, look, disciples, how many disciples are in this room this morning? Look, I've given you these signs to be able to help you set your watch, set your spiritual clock. Are you watching? Watch means be sleepless, keep awake, pray, beg as binding oneself, petition. That's literally what it means in the Greek. Jesus' instruction, I want you to be finding yourself before the Lord, crying out, believing, but crying out in faith, believing, keeping watch, watching in the night. How many ever were in the military and you had to keep guard duty, okay? You set your watch, you do your watch. How many know it's not good to fall asleep on your watch? Still not good to fall asleep on your watch. Anyway, but don't fall asleep on duty. And if you'll watch and pray, The Bible says you'll be found deserving to flee these things and stand strongly before the Lord. I know we're not doing this on works. It's by His grace. But He's helping us to be ready. Remember, the disciples said, Lord, when's all this going to happen? We don't get it. He said, watch. Pray. Keep your heart. Keep tender. Don't get distracted away. Keep your eye on the ball. Luke 21, 37 and 38 says, and in the daytime, he was teaching in the temple. But at night, he went out and stayed on the mountain called Olivet. Then early in the morning, all the people came to him in the temple to hear him. His disciples, they understood a little more. They had set apart time with Jesus. When you have time that you take, your quiet time, in the Word and in prayer, Jesus quickens your heart and gives you a little more insight than just the masses who might come to the temple to hear a message. How many disciples, again, are in this room this morning? Watch. Pray. Keeping your eyes on Him. Though not all responded, Jesus kept teaching, kept reaching, right through to the end of His ministry here on earth. Now, we keep that ministry going. The time is short. Watch and pray. I'm going to finish with this out of the message. Luke 21, 29 through 38, which is where we've been this morning. Hear it out of the message. He told them a story. Look at a fig tree, any tree for that matter. When the leaves begin to show, one look tells you summer is right around the corner. The same here. When you see these things happen, you know God's kingdom is about here. Don't brush this off. I'm not just saying this for some future generation, but for this one too. These things will happen. Sky and earth will wear out. My words won't wear out. Be on your guard, be on your guard. Don't let the sharp edge of your expectation get dulled by parties and drinking and shopping. What's so funny? Okay, we'll move on from that verse. Don't let your heart get dull. Oh, God, keep my heart hot for you. My heart is fixed, oh, God. My heart is fixed. I'll sing, give praise. Otherwise, that day is going to take you by complete surprise, spring on you suddenly like a trap, for it's going to come on everyone everywhere at once. So, whatever you do, I want you to say this phrase with me. Don't go to sleep at the switch. Come on, say it again. Don't go to sleep at the switch. Again, don't go to sleep at the switch. If all the world was relying on you to flip the switch at the moment Jesus did His work, and you were the early warning device for the entire body of Christ, could they rely on you to flip the switch? Don't go to sleep at the switch. Thank God He's relying on the Holy Spirit, right? Much bigger than me. Pray constantly. You'll have the strength and wits to make it through everything that's coming and end up on your feet before the Son of Man. Spent his days in the temple teaching, but his nights on the mountain called Olives, all the people were up at the crack of dawn to come to the temple and listen to him. This is going to conclude these three series. And I pray with all my heart that our hearts are on fire for Jesus. That no matter what, we won't turn to the right or to the left or whichever sign direction it goes, but that we'll stay fixed, listening to Him, seeking Him, watching Him, reading His Word, encouraging each other when you see each other this week. Hey, what's Jesus saying to you? What did you see out of the Scripture today? Don't you love the Lord? And encouraging each other. Finish reading this with me, would you? Keep watching. Keep praying. Set your watch. Keep your spiritual rebar strong. Would you stand with me, please? Musicians, will you come? Let's go back to that song, if you would, please, Roxanne. Keep watching. Keep praying. Set your watch. Keep your spiritual rebar strong. If you're here this morning and the Lord has spoken to your heart about how much you need Him, that's a good thing. We're all in the same boat. If there's something the Lord is talking to you about this morning and you want to take time to come on up, even at this, what we might call an altar area, to just come up and commit it all to Jesus, I urge you to do that. In fact, if the Lord has spoken anything to you at all from this series of messages, I want you to get out of your seats right now and come right up front. If the Lord's spoken to your heart, come on up front. Come on, everybody. I hope everybody's listening. Because if God said something to you, then let's commit it all. I, for one, am going to walk right up here because I want to commit it to Him. And if you will get out of your seats, come on up front to commit your future steps from here to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on up. We're going to pray. Come on up. If your life is committed to the Lord and you're saying, Jesus, I want to be ready, no matter what you're doing, come on up. As we're going to close in prayer this morning. With every eye closed, after you're here, don't run into each other, but after you're here, close your eyes. Raise your hands and commit with me. Lord Jesus, right now, we come to you hungry as a congregation to do what you want, to be what you want, to have our hearts ready to burn for you and on fire for you. We love you, Jesus. Take us the next steps, Lord. We commit ourselves to watch and pray and to keep our spiritual rebar strong. We love you, Jesus. We repent of every distraction and we receive forgiveness and our hearts are on fire for you. As we go from this place, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and lead us in closing prayer. Any comments you might have in closing prayer?
Father, we thank you for the message that we've just heard with our own ears. Lord, help us to not go out of here and be distracted, but Lord, help us to keep those thoughts that we might watch and pray, that we might not be distracted by the things the devil would have us distracted by. Help us hold on and cling to Jesus this week, Lord. Help us to walk the steps that we might be ready at any moment for whatever you're doing in this earth. Now we leave this place with your blessing, Lord, your face smiling upon us as we walk out of this building, that we might be your light in the world. Thank you, Jesus, for everything you've done for us this morning. Amen.
Would you raise your hands for the blessing, please? I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. God bless you. Be released in the presence of the Lord. If you need healing power, there'll be a team of people over here to pray for you. Go in the joy of the Lord. God bless.